Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, it's been just over 6 months since a new task force was set up by the Department of Health to try to reduce the number of children with scoliosis who are waiting for treatment. The task force was set up following a number of specific clinical and patient safety concerns regarding the paediatric orthopaedic surgery service at Temple Street Hospital. Along with the task force, Children's Health Ireland, which runs the various children's hospitals in Dublin, set up its own dedicated paediatric spinal surgery management unit. And for more on this, I'm joined now in the studio by David Moore, consultant orthopaedic surgeon who leads that unit I just mentioned at Children's Health Ireland. David, you're very welcome and thank you for coming in. So as I mentioned there, 6 months since the unit was set up, Stephen Donnelly has a 4 month target in place. He believes that children shouldn't be waiting longer than 4 months. Do you agree with that target?
I think that the there are many different targets that we have that we work towards. The 4 month target is not a clinically relevant target, but we do measure waiting times at 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months as per the NTPF protocols. The 4 month one gained some traction some years ago. I'm not sure what the genesis of it was.
Well, I think Simon Harris, when he was Minister for Health, raised it back a number of years ago, 2017, I seem to recall. Stephen Donnelly then, but also the Ombudsman for Children has said he wants to make sure that that commitment is honoured.
Yeah, and we don't want anybody waiting longer than is necessary. But I think it has to be seen in the context of the different complexities of the patients that we see. If you have a four-year-old child who has a 40-degree curve in their spine, that's an entirely different type of problem compared to an adult who has, or a 19-year-old teenager who has the same type of curve. In one, it's a potentially very serious condition that we need to operate on as soon as we can. Whereas in the older patients, you would discharge the patient at the first visit because it's of no consequence, because there's no growth remaining and the curve is not going to become a problem. So to have a target of 4 months as one size fits all just doesn't make medical sense. But on the other hand, we're all aiming to try and get the waiting times down to what we would call clinically recommended timeframes. Mm-hmm.
Because
and that's very variable.
What no one wants to see is a child whose curve is becoming worse and worse and they're not having that surgery when they need it. And that is the crux of the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, we don't want to. I mean, we our waiting lists have been too long and we're working very hard towards reducing them. The amount of time that somebody waits is really something that we make a clinical decision on. We try to be able to ensure that anyone who needs a surgery can get it done in the clinically ideal time. Mm-hmm. And so, in general, we're successful at doing
that. Okay, so how does that work then? If you have a government and a minister saying this is our target and you as head of the unit saying sometimes it's not possible to meet that target.
Yeah, but I would have to say I think I get on quite well with the minister. I think in general, we're very much on the same page. I think this is being overstated as an issue, to be honest with you. I think that I'm very happy that the minister understands fully the issues around our waiting lists, our time, the times that people are waiting for surgery. I don't see the same problem that mm-hmm. outside people seem to think.
Okay, it's just, I suppose, if you're a family and you're waiting for this for your child and the commitment has been given to you by the government that they won't be waiting longer than 4 months.
Yeah.
But you're saying actually that there's no medical reason why that target should be adhered to.
In the vast majority, yes. On the other hand, if you make a decision that surgery is necessary, there's no advantage to waiting. If we need to do a case that has to be done within 2 to 3 months, we can do that. But there are very few cases that need to be done that quickly. The surgery, you know, I think people have to stand back a bit and not just focus purely on numbers. We want to ensure that we're providing a service that is of high quality. So to do that, we need to make sure that patients are safe to operate on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these children have many, many complex conditions underlying their complaint. And we need to make sure it's safe, that we understand fully what their underlying problems are. Is their spinal cord safe to operate on? That takes time and it takes investigations. And that's an area where we have been quite successful now at minimising any delays with getting our pre-operative investigations carried out.
And I suppose that's one thing, and people will understand that if there are medical reasons why a surgery can't go ahead, people will accept that in most or all cases. It's those stories we read about families who are parking the car, getting ready to go in for the surgery, and they're told there's no bed and that operation isn't going to happen. They're the cases, I think, that people can't understand. Are you working to try and address that so that that is not on your agenda, that that will not happen?
Yeah, I mean, we all have children. We're all very aware of what it means to a family, whether you've got scoliosis or other conditions, if your procedure can't go ahead. I think that's awful. It's terrible for the family. We're very well aware of what's required to get someone else to look after your children, to take time off work, to be able to look after your child in hospital and when they come home, and for those arrangements to be changed at the last minute. I think that happens very rarely now. But unfortunately, that will still happen in the future for many reasons, particularly as we come into the winter season, where sick people come into hospital and they will need to take a bed. Unfortunately, that's the health system that we have at the moment.
Now, in order to address the waiting list, you're also organising for people to have their surgeries abroad, isn't that right?
Yes.
So where is that happening?
It's happening in a number of places. So there's a couple of centres in the United Kingdom, one Great Ormond Street, which most people would be familiar with. Seven patients were offered surgery there. Six are going to go and have their surgery. There's another patient going to the Portland Hospital in London. We're looking at the United States. We've engaged in a very collaborative and collegial way with a hospital called Morgan Stanley Children's Hospital. We have at the moment 18 patients who are exploring the option of going there. They're going to see those American surgeons next week. They're coming over to Ireland with a team to review all the patients. And then in behind that, we have another big centre in Pittsburgh who have put their hand up and said they'd like to help also.
It's a big decision for the families, isn't it? To travel,
yeah,
particularly to the United States to have this work done.
Yeah.
So how long are you telling them they need to expect to be in the States if they make that choice?
So because we're doing this as a collaboration, which I've said, which is very important, we'll agree with the surgeons from the US what procedure is going to be done, what implants are going to be used, because no matter what centre in the world you have surgery, complications will arise. We want to ensure that whatever procedure is done there, we have the ability, if necessary, to be able to do revision surgery on it. Patients will be going, there's a wide range of complexity of the patients who are going. Some of them will only be there 2, maybe 3 weeks. Others will need to stay longer, possibly 6 weeks. So it's a huge family decision for people to go.
You want the aftercare in the main to happen here and for the capability to be here to do that.
Yeah, the immediate post-op phase will be done in the United States, whereas once the patients are well and fit to travel and their wounds have healed, then they'll come back here and we look after them here.
So in terms of the waiting list overall then, it's around 290, just shy of 290 that you have on that list. Is that right?
Yeah, well, the waiting list now will change. So I have figures which were last week's figures. OK, the figures will be different today. We get an update every Monday morning and the figures change on a weekly basis. So the number that we have at the moment is 285 waiting for surgery.
And that's actually going up, isn't it?
Yes, it's going up because I suppose my remit, I feel, is not just to provide enhanced ability of doing surgery. We want to make sure that there were nearly 800 patients on waiting lists for outpatient clinics. So over the last number of months, we've been running extra clinics on a Saturday. And so far, we've seen just over 240 patients at those five clinics. And the 14 patients have been listed for surgery. And we're still seeing the usual number of patients at our outpatients and offices.
Mm. So as you see more of those patients, they're being added to the surgery.
There's a conversion rate to surgery from GP referrals.
Right. So ultimately then, you know, do you want to get to a point where you don't need the hospital in Pittsburgh and the two in London and so on, that you want to have this surgery happening here?
Yeah, we recognise that, you know, it's not that the treatment is second best. The treatment abroad will be absolutely first class, but it's not in any way ideal for us to send patients abroad. We want to do all the surgery here. So the ones that are going abroad are kind of the middle grade of complexity. We're keeping the really complex ones here and we're keeping the straightforward ones here. We're cognizant of the impact on families and we're very keen that ultimately we'll be able to provide a service so that when people are seen in a clinic, we can look after them here, hopefully using treatment that can avoid surgery if we get to them early enough and then minimise the number of cases that will have to go abroad.
So apart then from the outsourcing, what else are you doing to try and bring the numbers down on that list?
Sorry, I forgot to mention also we do outsource patients to the BlackRock Clinic. We're also trying to we have an avenue opening up there for slightly younger patients to have their surgery done there. And then there's another group who are aging out of Crumlin, who were working with the Mater Hospital for patients to go there to have their surgery.
Okay. So in terms of the other options then, apart from outsourcing, because that's, I suppose, with a view to long term, where does this go? Are you working on solutions that will allow people to be treated here?
Yeah. So we have a number of operating theatres that we have access to in Children's Health Ireland, whether in Temple Street or Crumlin. And then there's also some facilities in Kappa Hospital. What we're trying to do is optimise their use for spinal surgery, optimise the use of some of those theatres for spinal surgery that are dedicated just to doing spinal surgery. One thing that sometimes gets lost in the conversations is that all the spine surgeons, whether in Crumlin or Temple Street, are also orthopaedic surgeons. So they're doing not only spine surgery, but they're looking after the broken bones that come into the hospitals and people with dislocated hips, crooked feet, all the common orthopaedic problems mm-hmm. that affect children. So we have to be certain that we're providing a comprehensive service for all those children. And therefore, we have to share our time amongst both groups. So to focus on spine, there's a price if we do that. So we have to deliver the service to those children.
That's really important for people to know. You know, as you drive ahead with the spinal surgery, that may have a knock-on effect elsewhere. Are you saying that's what you're trying to avoid or that's an inevitability?
It's a consequence, but again, we have the facility. So now we're to free up the spine theatre space in, say, Crumlin. We are doing lists in Kappa for non-spine cases.
Right.
So we move some of our team out there. I'll be going out to Kappa and doing lists. We'll share the resources that are available. And that's a new resource to us.
Mm-hmm. Because we had heard in the past that sometimes it wasn't about the availability of the theatre or the surgeon. And we've touched on this a moment ago. It's about the availability of the aftercare and, you know, the bed that you need to look after that person, whether it's in ICU or high dependency or wherever. Has that train, that line of treatment and care, has that been addressed?
Yeah. So at the moment, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, our ICU colleagues in Crumlin were saying, can you do more complex spines? We have capacity. And that's very seasonal. So during the winter, that capacity won't be there. So that's always going to be, you cannot have unlimited resources available all the time because people have to be able to keep their skill level up. So people who are working, whether it's in intensive care or on our wards or in surgery, have to have a significant constant throughput of work. If you have a facility available so that there's never any doubt about getting access to, say, an ICU mm-hmm. bed, well, that means there's people standing around doing nothing.
Now, I mentioned the fact that the unit was set up after we had these controversies in this area. Do you have a job of work to do, particularly with the parents and the families and with the wider public as well, to restore confidence in Children's Health Ireland with regard to spinal surgery?
Yeah, well, I think with regard to all types of surgery, to be honest with you, because, you know, whatever the reasons for it, our image or our brand has very much diminished in the last 6 months to a year for a number of different reasons. And yeah, we do. We definitely have to build up confidence. We have to restore people's faith in the service, both access to it and the quality of the service.
All right. Well, David, thank you very much for coming in. That's David Moore, who's a consultant orthopaedic surgeon who also leads the Paediatric Spinal Services Management Unit at Children's Health Ireland. Back after this break.